I don't despair for Scranton and Lackawanna County, even though I walk downtown and I walk across Biden Street, and every time I see it, I want to spit. I don't despair. I don't despair because God is on the throne. And I don't despair because God does hear and answer prayer. And, you know, we have a theme here, victory by our bended knee in 2023. And I know that God hears and answers prayer. And I know that folks are praying for our country, praying for our community. And I know that we have the answer in the Word of God. And I know we have the Word of God. And the God of the Word, the author, is still alive. And so I want to just praise the Lord for that. I want to say this morning, by way of introduction, that I believe God is a great big God, but He likes to work with little people in little places to do His great and mighty things. He likes to do great and mighty things, but He likes to work with little people in little places. I went to Israel and we went to Jerusalem and all the sites, and then we got in a van and drove about 9 miles and went to a little town called Bethlehem. You ever heard of that? And I saw that little town of Bethlehem. I realized it's just a little town and insignificant and not a great place at all, but God said that that's where the Savior of the world is going to be born. I drove around the Sea of Galilee, which is a lake called Lake Kinneret in the Bible, Lake Gennesaret. And I went around a place, and we were going around the Sea of Galilee. I swam in the Sea of Galilee, took a boat across the Sea of Galilee, you know. And when we were going around the lake there, I saw a town, and it said Magdala. Magdala. A sign that said Magdala. I was like, wow, that's where Mary of Magdala was born. I know her, Mary Magdalene. Yeah, and she, no, that's not Jesus' mom, Bobby. That's another Mary. But she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. And devil-possessed. But the Lord saved her. And blessed her. Just a little place, a little person that the Lord blessed. And she became the first person to commune with the Lord when He was raised from the dead. A woman oppressed. He lifts you up. Little people in little places. I think of a man by the name of Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts was a young man in Wales, Longhorn, Wales. He went to college and the Lord showed him, I want you to go back to your church. I want you to go back to your home village. I want you to stay there and pray and wait on God. An evangelist named Seth Joshua came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit after years of praying, and they had the Great Welsh Revival, and it spread through Wales, it spread through Europe, it spread all over the world, and lives were changed, people were saved. And I don't despair that God can do these things. I like what our former pastor used to say, Charles Ware. He said, God did it then, God can do it again, and God uses men. And so even Roberts is an encouragement. In our Bible story this morning, I turn your attention to Gideon, who was a young man that had no clue that God could use him. He did not expect God to use him. But remember, God loves to work with little people in little places and do great things. And you know what? I believe the United States, and I appreciate the choir singing that. I appreciate the choice this morning. I believe the United States has a de facto coup that has taken it over. The globalists have taken it over. They've stole our election. They've stole our country. They've stole our democracy. And now it's their democracy. You hear Hillary, she says, our democracy. What she means is, you can't vote. You're a deplorable. They've stole our country, they've taken over, and the exact same thing happened in the days of Gideon. The Midianites had performed a coup on Israel, they'd taken over their people, they'd taken over their country, they couldn't even keep their hard-earned income, they had to give it up to the Midianites. They had to hide their food from the Midianites because they would take it away from them. And you know, that's where we are today. They want to take everything from us. They want to even kill us and take our health from us through launching bioweapons on us. We're in a war. And that's the way it was in Gideon's day. And so I don't despair, because God likes to use common people like you to do great things, and like Gideon. And God called Gideon, and he was there, and he was trying to thresh some barley and so forth. And God called him and said, I am going to use you. I'm going to do great and mighty things through you. And Gideon was like, where be all the miracles? If you're with us, God, where be all the miracles that you did to our fathers? Now, God never told Gideon, I'm with Israel. He was against Israel for their sin. He said, I'm with you. So Gideon got it wrong. He said, if you be with us. God never said that. He said, I'm with you. And God will work through the individual. He'll work through you. If you want to get right with God, if you want to serve God, God will work with you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You say, why, Pastor? Why should I do that? Because God loves to use little people. He loves to do great things in little places. He loves to bless the common people like you this morning. And I want to show you this by one verse in Gideon and in chapter 7. So turn to chapter 7 and look with me at verse number 13. This is the text for my sermon. It says, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. Well, wouldn't it be great if God would overturn the election and put the true president back in and take the imposter out of there? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if God would save the Catholic middle class in Scranton and turn this city around for God? Wouldn't that be great? He did it before. He can do it again. Now, Gideon couldn't believe God could do it. He kept saying, God, give me an assurance. God, give me assurance. God, give me assurance. And God kept giving him assurance. But Gideon was still, he needed more assurance. So God gave him this dream. Not his own dream. It was somebody else's dream. He was down there just before the battle. And he was going to lead his 300 men against thousands, hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Can you imagine that? Only 300 men. And he just needed assurance. And he heard one of the Midianites' soldiers telling the other soldier, hey, I had a dream. And the guy said, what was your dream? He said, a cake of barley, a loaf of barley bread, rolled down the hill and rolled into our tent and overturned our tents. And he knew by that meant that God was going to give Gideon the victory. But what was the barley loaf? Now, I remember being a student at Baptist Bible College. I used to go to chapels. We had some great chapels, some great preachers. We'd have pastors come in and preach. And those days were great days to me, just to be in chapel and meet with God and be there. I used to sit right in the front row in chapel, man. I wanted to be there. Charlie Ware was there. We were buddies. We'd sit right in the front row. And I remember a pastor named Dan Gillette, he preached. And he preached on Gideon. And he was talking about this barley loaf. And the barley loaf coming down and rolling into the tent. And he said, he told us the significance of the barley loaf. Does anybody know the significance of the barley loaf? I'll tell you what it is. It was the common bread of the common people. It was just your basic, like Puerto Ricans, what's the basic food? Beans and rice, right? Beans and rice. The basic food, right? It's what you eat. And this was the basic bread. It was the bread of the common people. And, you know, that bread, that barley loaf, God was going to use it to destroy and defeat this great enemy called Midian. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God likes to use common people like you to do great things. You may be a young man. You may be a young lady. You may be a teenager. You may be a man or a woman. You may be an older person. I don't care. God likes to use common people to do great and mighty things. We don't have to despair as long as God is alive, as long as we have a Bible, as long as there is the Church of Jesus Christ. We don't have to despair because God loves to use common people to do great things. And so this morning, God likes to do that. And I want to just say two things in this message, a brief message this morning, to the point, two things. Number one, God likes to choose common people like you to do great and mighty things. How did Gideon respond when God said, I want you? Here's what he said in Judges 6:15. Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. What was his excuse? I don't have any particular abilities. I don't have any particular talents. I don't have great abilities and talents. By the way, I don't have great abilities and talents either. I see people with talents, and I praise the Lord. I see a guy like Joe Sobotnick. He could do architectural drawings. I'd be lucky to draw a square, you know, a cube. And Brother Joe, he prays, he said, Lord, you've given me a desire, and that is to help people, to take my talents and help people. And I told Brother Joe, I said, Brother Joe, I'm so glad God sent you to help me. I'm so glad God sent you to help me. Amen. But listen to me, you don't need to have great talents. You don't have to have great abilities. God likes to use common people to do his great and mighty things. So when Gideon said, I'm the least in my family, I don't have great talents, I don't have great abilities, my family is not that great, and I'm the least of my family. He said, you know, you can't do this with me, you can't use me. Well, that is just opposite to the fact, because God loves to take people that have little ability. And I think of the burning bush. The burning bush was on fire, and somebody has said, any old bush will do. You just need to get on fire with the Lord. He doesn't care what the bush is like. Who was it? John Wesley? He said to his students, he said, just pour oil on yourself, light it on fire, and people will come to watch you burn. Amen. That's what we need. We need to burn for God. We need to burn with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's not by power, nor by might. It's not by gifts. It's not by ability. God said, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what God wants. I think of a guy in East Texas, Jack Hiles, a little skinny guy, and he would read about the great things that God did, and he prayed, and he asked God for the power of the Holy Spirit. I went with Jack Hiles to the site. I've got a picture with him there in Italy, Texas, and where the Holy Spirit filled him and empowered him to get people saved and to get lives changed. God can do it. He's done it before. He can do it again. He does it with men. He does it with young ladies. He does it with people. And I'm just saying to you that the Corinthian church in the Bible, they were worldly, they were carnal, they had money, they thought they had the greatest gifts, and they thought they were slay, or they were cool, and they were gifted, and they were smart. And here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to them. He said, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he didn't stop there. He continued to humble them. He said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He doesn't even stop there. He gets even more humbling. He says, and base things of the world and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, I don't think Scranton, Pennsylvania is a great place, but I think it's God's place. I know it's God's place for me. I remember back in the days gone by, we were, my wife and I were celebrating our anniversary, but we were in West Palm Beach, Florida years ago. That's a beautiful place. That's where Donald Trump has his Mar-a-Lago. That's where Brother Joe is even going, man, to West Palm Beach, Florida. I mean, that's a cool place. Brother Joe's a cool guy. And I was living there in that cool place, you know. And I remember I was a youth pastor at a church, ran about 1,500 people, 2,000 people, Calvary Baptist Church down in West Palm Beach. I was a youth pastor there, and I was teaching at a Christian school there, you know. And we had been in Scranton, but my wife had some health problems. We were down there, and just for a little while, didn't stay long, teaching a Christian school down there. My father-in-law knew that God was stirring me up to come back to Scranton, to leave West Palm, and to pastor this church, Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And my father-in-law looked at me and he said, look, he said, you got sales ability. I've got a multi-million dollar corporation here in South Florida, South Florida Aluminum. I would like you to be over sales. I'll give you a company car. You have all this money, you know. My brother-in-law got a yacht and three homes and all, he's to this day, and all this stuff. And he said, I'll give you a part in this company if you just stay here. Just keep my wife, my daughter here. And I said, I can't. I said, I got to go to Scranton, Pennsylvania. God's called me to Scranton. I got to go. And the church voted in September 1978. And I got in my car and left my wife there for a little while and went up here in October and became a pastor in October of 1978. And I remember preaching, and I preached two messages in September to let the people know. And one of the messages I preached on was Romans 1. I'm not ashamed. I am ready, and I'm a debtor. And instead of talking about the gospel, which I preached on that before, I said, I'm not ashamed of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I'm ready to come to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I have a debt. I'm a debtor to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You see, this church had been written off by the college because at that time there was a lot of racial stuff going on, and our pastor was black. He was my best friend, and I said, I'm with him, man. And they didn't like that because they didn't want a black and a white church. They were prejudiced back then. It had to be one way or the other. And I said, I agree with my pastor. The church is for everybody. Amen. Anybody gets saved, it's for everybody. And so we came up, and I threw in my, and I said, I'm not ashamed. I know the church may be persecuted by the college. At that, they changed. Then they went along with the preacher later, gave him a doctorate and all that, you know, and exalted him. But not back then. Not back then, man. It was hard time back then. And I said, I'm not ashamed, folks. I'm ready. I'm ready. And they voted to call me to come up here. They're still clapping, man. This is a day. And they voted to call me up here. But you know what? That encourages me because God loves little people. He loves little places. And he loves to do great things. Amen? I remember I went to the great First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Great work of God. But I saw some little people there. Some people that other people would totally write off. But they were right there in that church. And I said, that preacher, he has a heart for ghetto kids. He has a, and he had a heart. He had a heart. You hear what I'm saying to you? A church with a heart. God has a heart. He has a heart for the little people. He has a heart for the little places. He doesn't turn them off and say, no, I don't care about you. He cares about you this morning. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have a lot of cool or slay or whatever they like to say today. You may not be so much. But my friend, God says, I've given so much for you. I've given that a world of people like you might be adopted into my family, that you might be royalty. I believe that today. And so I just am encouraged because God likes to use common people like you to do great things. And he likes to choose common people like you to do great and mighty things for him. Praise the Lord for that. And I think about some people, they've sinned in their life. I talked to a lady the other day. She said, wouldn't you like to get saved? I said, God offers you a free gift. He offers you a gift of salvation. You've sinned. I've sinned. We deserve to die and go to hell. But he's offered us a free gift. Wouldn't you like to get saved? This lady said, I've done some things I'm not proud of. Then she began to tell me some things that she did. And they were bad things. They were sinful things. And she never told me these things before. I'd given her the gospel. She said, I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself for what I've done. Listen, God is not interested in what things you've done that are good. He says he came to save the chief of sinners. He came to save you, and no matter how many sins you have, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, God's got more grace to go with your sin. So no matter how much sin you got, you give it to Jesus. You bring it all to him. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. His blood can cleanse the foulest, the deepest, the worst sinner. It doesn't matter what you've done, beloved. The devil will tell you you're no good. You're worthless. God can never use you. God can never work through you. I'm here to tell you God can work through you. I'm interested in you. Jesus, more importantly, is interested in you. He said to the people of his day, he said, I came to save sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. And God can use you. He can use Ryan Wolf to bring somebody to church like Victor. Amen. And if you haven't gone through the door, on the outside of the door to God's house, it says all are invited. And you go through that door, and there's a feast for you. And that feast is the forgiveness of sins. That feast is he'll give you new clothes. He'll take your old dirty clothes of your sin, give them to Jesus, and Jesus will give you perfect clothes and put them on you. I know, we're having our 50th. We're going to have pictures. My daughter's here. She said, Dad, you need a haircut. You need a professional haircut. And so she got the haircut set up for me to go there, and we got the haircut and got it all set up and all fixed up, and people have been complimenting, saying, hey, your hair looks really nice. You know, the Lord will give you that. He'll give you new clothes. Amen. I got some good clothes. Brother Jose buys me clothes. My wife brings me clothes. I get some nice threads, you know. And I give them trouble, don't I, Jose? I get stuff on my clothes. I had a nice tie yesterday, and I went to a restaurant. Patty, you told me wrong. That's a good restaurant, Burrito Loco. I went up there. I didn't go there for a long time because Steve and Patty didn't like it. I said, I'm going to go up there. So I went up there with Jesse. He went there with me. We went in there, and I said to the lady, I said, what kind of burrito should I have? She said, get the Burrito Loco. And it is loco because I'm a vegetarian, right? But it was chopped steak and cheese, and the thing was like draped over the plate. It was like that big. But anybody knows me know I love burritos. They're my favorite food on earth. I believe they're the manna that dropped from heaven. Amen. And I just cut that old burrito up, stuffed that in my mouth, and oh boy, oh, it was good. But I'm just saying, God will give you that. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. God will give you good food. God will give you clothes. God will take your... God just blesses you. When I was married 50 years ago, got married, I used to go to college and I was away from home, but I would wash my own clothes. I was proud of myself. But back then, you had to iron your clothes. And I wasn't ironing them properly. I guess I thought they would iron themselves or whatever. And so I kind of had little, wrinkled clothes. I walk around wrinkled clothes. And my wife kind of heard me, and she used to say he dresses like John the Baptist. The guy, not a good dresser, not a good dresser. But I like him, but he's not a good dresser. So when I got married to her, she had a great big trunk full of new clothes. And I was like, wow. And ever since then, it's been the same. I mean, clothes all the time. God will give you new clothes. He'll take away the robes of sin that are stained, and He'll give you a perfect robe of righteousness. And I heard in heaven we're going to wear white robes. And like yesterday, I ate a Burrito Loco, and my tie, it was like a beautiful tie, but when I was out of there, I was knocking on doors, and it was just coated with Burrito Loco stuff, you know. But I found out in heaven when we got a white robe and you take something like that and you're eating it, because we'll eat in heaven, amen. It wouldn't be heaven if we don't eat. And you'll be eating in heaven and it'll just go and clean itself. You won't have to clean in heaven. It'll be clean. Jesus will make you clean. This is what He does, and He likes to do it for common people, and He likes to do great and mighty things for you and bless you. And I thank God for that. I thank God for Marie Kresge. How many of you know Marie Kresge, our deacon's wife? While I'm gone, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to have Jesse preach one night. He's got a good message, and he's going to preach on a Wednesday night, and I'm excited about that. I almost wish I could be here, you know. But he told me the message yesterday. But anyway, Marie Kresge, she was in a liberal church. I think it was an Episcopal church. And they had the wrong Bible. They had the wrong gospel. They have the wrong standards, you know, where women can be homosexuals and be pastors and all that, you know, crazy stuff. But Marie, for some reason, I got to figure this out. She was looking for a Baptist church, and she was looking for a Baptist church that had the old King James Bible. Do you know not all Baptist churches have the old King James Bible? And some of them that have it don't believe it's the only preserved, inspired word of God for today. I believe it from cover to cover. It's my final authority. And I've got a master's degree and everything else, but I just believe it. Amen. And so anyway, she was looking for a church. And she had a list of churches. But it was like on that list of churches, we were on it because she saw it on the internet. But we weren't at the top. She was just going to different churches. And that particular night, she was going to a church. It wasn't ours. But it started to rain and storm and thunder. So she just said, oh, I'm near this church. I see it. So she came into this church on a Sunday night. I started preaching. And she came under conviction of sin and realized, I'm not saved. I'm going to die and go to hell. By the way, you may not be saved today. And God has you here to let you know if you die, you're going to die and pay for your sin in a place called hell. You can't save yourself. And I said, only Jesus can save you. But if you put your faith in the Lord to take your sins away, He will do it. Because He died for a world of sinners just like you. And anyone in the world that will trust Him, He said, I'll take your sins away. And so she took that to heart. She began to cry. She came forward. I want to be saved. I gave my wife to her, and she went with my wife. My wife counseled her, and she put her faith in Jesus Christ. Was born again, saved by the grace of God. She got baptized. Now, we had a lot of guys in the church, and they seemed like a lot of them thought she was cute. They wanted to date her, I guess. Yeah? And but one guy won out. His name was, what was it? Jesse Kresge. And Jesse, he dated her. And, you know, Jesse got saved through Brother Greg in a trailer park. And Jesse heard that this guy was in a trailer park, and he was talking to these people, and his mom said, you ought to go out and see that guy. See what he's up to. And curiosity killed the cat, or saved the deacon. Jesse got saved. He was just a teenager going nowhere fast, and he got saved. Went to our Christian school, and God blessed his life. And I remember, you know, Marie got saved, Jesse got saved. I remember about 3 years ago or so, we had a vacation Bible school, and we had a clown in there named Jimmy. And Marie was helping Jimmy, hanging with that clown. And all of a sudden, I didn't see the clown, but I see this guy come out with a tuxedo. And he sees Marie, and he gets down on his knee with a diamond ring, and he said, will you marry me? Right in Vacation Bible School. She said, yes, I will, Jesse. And they got married right here in this church. What a blessing. Serving the Lord. Amen. Together. God loves to bless common people. He loves to do that with people like you. And God likes to choose common people like you to do great and mighty things. This guy right here and his wife, they're both bus kids. He's the assistant pastor of youth with many gifts and talents and abilities that God has given him. But he's a common person. Coming out of a common home in West Scranton. Amen. I knew his dad. His dad was crazy. That's the only way you can describe him. Felix is crazy. A lovable guy. A lovable guy. But God saved him out of that home. And God saved his mother. Now they're raising their family. And I can remember a time when he was messing up. And the youth director and I visited him. Remember that? And we were confronting him with being a teenager and messing up. And I said, "You're messing up." And the youth director said, "You're sinning." And he looked at me and his family member said, "That church is accusing you guys of sinning. Get rid of that church. They're judging you. We love you. They don't love you." And they said, both of them said, "No, they love us. They're just telling us the truth." And Eric said to me when I was confronting him as a teenager, disobedient, he said, "Pastor, I know I'm doing wrong." He said, "But I'm going to get right with God." He said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah, what do you want to ask me, Eric?" He said, "When I get right with God, can I come back to your school, your Christian school, and raise my family in your school?" I said, "Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can." See, that's what the Lord likes to do. He likes to save people. He likes to get people out of sin and bring them back to the Lord. And maybe you've been away from the Lord. Maybe you've been in sin and your sin is nagging at you. You say, "I can't get right. I can't get back." Listen, that's a lie of the devil. He's trying to keep you away. I'm throwing out the rest of my sermon here. I'm almost done. I got more notes and stuff to preach here. But listen, I'm just going to get right into it. God used Gideon. He used Gideon. He can use you. I believe God has great and mighty things to do, and he uses a common person. And I think a lot of these cool churches in America that have all the money, they have all the musicians, they have all the power, God's going to go right over them and go to a church that has a heart for God. And he's going to use that people to turn this country around. I remember praying in a prayer meeting, and we were praying, and Brother Bob came up to pray with me. And as Bob was praying, he prayed for Scranton. And you know what he said? He said, "Lord, make Scranton like a Bible Belt." Well, Scranton isn't a Bible Belt. Amen. We were in prayer the other day in a Revival Seekers prayer meeting. Sarge was there. Pray for Sarge. He's not feeling well. Sarge had a wonderful prayer. And then he told me, he said, "Pastor," he said, "do you know who really runs Scranton?" And I really didn't. I mean, I thought it was a liberal crowd of a bunch of demon rats, you know, that run it. I know they always vote demon rat. They never vote Republican, or they never vote for a conservative. And I was like, "I don't know." I said, "It's strange to me because I go to Dixon City and businesses are thriving. They don't tax the businesses. They don't put the businesses down in Dixon City." And I thought it was strange. Scranton's always oppressed, and Scranton is always underneath it and oppressed. And I was troubled by that. And I look at Moosic. Brother Bob is in Moosic, and you know, it's nice in Moosic and in Duryea and those places. And they vote for conservative people, but not Dixon, not Scranton. Sarge said to me, "I know what's going on. I've been in the government of Scranton." He says, "You know who runs Scranton?" "Who?" He said, "The Diocese of Scranton, the Catholic Diocese. They don't want businesses in here. They want to run everything." You know, that's a sad thing. But it happened in Jesus' day. The religious crowd was running everything. And Jesus was messing up their plans. And they didn't like it. Well, let's just pray that God uses some Gideons today to mess up the plans that the devil has for Scranton. And that, yes, Scranton does become a Bible Belt. That we do have people that have freedom of religion and freedom of speech and have the old-time religion, the old-time Bible, amen. People that go back to the old America. You know, the enemies come in like a flood. Girls are being... I'm sorry, guys are trying to be girls. And I think it all started when girls tried to be dressed like guys, you know. Now the girls are dressing better than the girls. The guys are dressing more like the girls more than the girls do. It's messed up. But the Bible said when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will, listen, raise up a standard. Turn the tide. Let the old-time religion flow. Let it raise up the standards. You say, how high should they be raised up? All the way up to the Bible. I talked to this brother. He was talking about reunion and getting together and wanting to do it right. And I told him about 1 Corinthians 7. And he's taking it to heart, aren't you, brother? I believe you are. And you know what 1 Corinthians 7 says? When you're dating, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. You say, how high? That high. I remember Brother Jesse, when he went with Marie, he said, Marie, he said, we're not even going to hold hands till we get married. She's like, what? What kind of church did I drop into? An independent fundamental Baptist church that's got the old time standards. So she came up with a cool idea. She said, okay, well, I want everybody to know you're my man and I'm your woman, even though we're not married yet. I want any other woman getting you. That must be a miracle for her to say. But anyway, she made a ribbon and tied it up and put it on her hand, a ribbon on his hand. And they would go around, you saw that, and they walk around with that ribbon, about 5 inches apart, not touching, and they go around with that ribbon. They used to talk for hours, you know, doing stuff. It was so cool to see it. It does my heart good to see stuff like that, because I didn't come from that. But I got exposed to the Bible, and I saw what God can do. And I've stayed with it. Many pastors are like little puppy dogs. They're the world's puppy dog. They follow the world, but they lag behind 10 years to look like they're holy. I'd rather be behind 2,000 years and stick right here with this old-time religion and this old-time book right here. And I'm not afraid to say it. You say, aren't you afraid you're going to lose a crowd? Well, what did it say in Judges chapter 7, and I think it's verse 2, God said, there's too many people with you, Gideon. Too many people for me to give the victory. I learned a long time ago, I'm not trying to gather a crowd. I'm trying to follow Christ. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. God, don't worship me. I'm crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know, I'm not perfect. But this book is. God is. And I believe God did it then. He can do it again. He likes to use common people that just want to serve Him, that just want to prove He is who He is. And He wants you. You can be one of those people. If you need to get saved today, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you need to get baptized and put on the uniform after you get saved, then come forward today and say, Pastor, I need to get baptized. I got saved. I need to get baptized. And you do. Not to get to heaven, but because God wants you to have the uniform. Once you get baptized, you need to get into a church. You need to get a church family and serve God. Once you do that, you need to offer yourself to serve God. Maybe some of you guys, God wants you to be a preacher like me. Maybe some young man, you know, God's calling you to be a preacher. You say, I'm coming. I want to be a preacher. Or if God wants me to be a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife or evangelist, I'm available. I'm available to God. Whatever it is, you do what God wants you to do. Maybe he wants you to be a helper in this church and help men of God. Help the deacons, help the preacher. God will use you. All right, let's bow for prayer. And I wonder, you say, Pastor,